everybody. Welcome to It's All About Relationship. I'm David Novak, and you're about to listen to episode number 101, 101. Hey, so glad you could join us today. If you're a regular listener, hey, welcome back. We're very happy to have you. And if this is your very first time listening to us, welcome aboard. We hope you enjoy the show today. We've got some good stuff coming up, and I do have a special guest, but before I introduce him, I want to just kind of go through some preliminary stuff with you right now. Hey, if you want to follow the show on Instagram or Facebook, please feel free to do so. On Facebook, it's All About Relationship. And on Instagram, it's under David Novak Podcast. That's David Novak, N-O-V-A-K. And the only reason it's listed that way is because somebody else had the name already. So anyway, there you go. And if you want to follow me as an actor, I would love for you to do that. You can keep up on, stuff that I'm doing with movies and TV and, you know, that sort of stuff. But anyway, on Facebook, it's David Novak Actor. And Instagram, it's the same thing. So, hey, here we are right in the middle of the Christmas season. It depends on when you're listening to this show. You might be listening to it in February, for all I know. But we are recording it in the first week of December, and we just came through Thanksgiving. So I hope and pray it's a blessed holiday season for you. And we're going to talk just a little bit about that with my special guest. But before I tell you who he is, I'm going to tease you just a little bit and tell you some of the stuff that he does. He's the co-founder of Trinity Help Foundation Incorporated. That's a nonprofit, and they do missionary work and that kind of thing. And they've, especially in Haiti, they've done some water filtration education. They've done construction. And I think they helped build a school there, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll find out in a minute. Michael, I'll tell you his first name, which I just did. He's a full-time director of youth. He's a youth children's ministry pastor at Next Community Church in Pennsylvania. So everybody, welcome aboard Michael LaBella. Michael.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
Well, everybody,
thank you for tuning in.
You hear that round of applause? Oh my gosh, they love what you're doing.
Awesome.
Isn't that cool? So
that is cool.
I didn't tell you. Yeah. So Michael, it's good to have you on. And I got to tell you a little bit about Michael on a personal level. My wife's and my daughter, Tessa, she just got married just a couple of weeks ago to Daniel Bocanegra. So she's Mrs. Bocanegra right now. And we had the wedding and the reception in Cabo, Mexico. And Michael LaBella flew out there and he officiated the wedding. And he did such an awesome job. And it was, you could feel God's presence while he was doing the wedding. And he just did an awesome job. And so that, and wow. I got to hang out with Michael a little bit. So, but you did a great job, Michael. And so much appreciated.
That was one of, I felt so blessed and honored to be a part of their lives on that day. I looked at it as such a blessing when they asked me. And interestingly enough, I met Daniel on a mission trip, not planned. We were from different parts of the country. We all met in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince. That was how I met Daniel. And then a few years later, Daniel said, "Hey, guess what? I'm bringing my girlfriend, your daughter at the time." And so I met both Daniel and Tessa on a mission trip where, if you know, I know that a lot of people say this, but you're so in touch and in tune with the Holy Spirit and God during these mission trips because there's no outside influences. We had no electricity. We had no signal most of the time. We had no running water. So you lean on the people that you're with, and most of all, you lean on God during those times.
And
so
I know
that was.
Go ahead.
No, that was how I met Daniel and Tessa, which was amazing.
And I remember Tessa telling me about that trip after she got back, and it's just, I know that it's something that is just helped change your life. And, you know, she already had a close relationship with the Lord, but after that mission trip, it just seemed to take on a whole nother level. So I thank you for that, Michael, for helping make that happen in Tessa's life and Daniel's too.
Speaking of thankfulness, you brought up, we just went through the Thanksgiving season. Mm-hmm. And speaking of thankfulness, there's no other more significant way to understand thankfulness than to experience a mission trip where people don't have, they have nothing compared to what we have. Mm-hmm. And we experienced a joy in them and a thankfulness in the little that they had. And their hope was based mainly on Jesus. And it was very difficult for us to fathom that type of joy when they had very little, extremely little, like almost nothing. We experienced a joyfulness in them that we couldn't comprehend. It was very hard. But they had hope in God. And I think that was at the center of their being able to still express joy with and having very, very little.
Wow. When you went over there with your team, because it was you and Tess and Daniel, but I think there were other people involved too, weren't there?
Yeah, the initial mission trip where I met Daniel was actually a bunch of different individuals meeting in one central location. Mm-hmm. So it was it was not through my foundation, which is awesome because that mission trip actually inspired us, Daniel, your son-in-law, and myself to found the nonprofit. We were touched so deeply by this mission trip, mm-hmm. and we were so in tune with God during this mission trip that we had decided we are going to do something long term. And that was 2014. Mm. So in that period between 2014 and today, we've been to Haiti 10 times.
Wow. 10 times? I didn't even know that. I did not know that. Wow, 10 times. Have you been to other countries too, or is that kind of your specialty, Haiti?
That's kind of where God put on both of our hearts. Mm-hmm. My son actually came along with me that first time too. So Daniel knows my son, Michael, and we've made, Daniel's been there a few times, with me and the groups. But I remember writing the blog when I got home, and I think the title of it was who are the poor ones? Because we were trying to figure out how with so little they could be happy and have joy. And yet when you come back into the United States, everybody is so, you know, they need stuff to make them happy and to be thankful. And, you know, we were trying to figure that out. And, you know, the answer is always the same thing, God. So that's how they kept their joy and their happiness. And they were willing to share whatever little bit that they had with us.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. What would be a typical day in Haiti for you guys on a mission trip? I mean, you get there, you know, you go to, I don't know if you go to a hotel or somebody's house or, but anyway, what's kind of typical of what happens over there with you guys?
So I know that most people are familiar because it was really big at the time. There was a show called Survivor, and our mission trips are set up for people that probably more younger, the younger clientele that can't afford $3,000 or $4,000 for a mission trip. Mm-hmm. I always described it as, if you remember the show Survivor.
Yeah.
I called it Survivor Meets Jesus.
I like that.
And that was exactly the way the trips were. We stayed in with a family. Merger, if you say it in French, was the name of the town outside of Port-au-Prince where we stayed. And it was, none of us were used to the heat. So most of the time we would sleep outside on the roof of Pastor John's house.
Oh, geez.
That was
really,
yeah, in a sleeping bag on a roof.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No running water, no electricity, no laptops, no signals most of the time.
Wow.
Bathrooms and showers were non-existent. So if you could imagine that. So it was literally the survivor meets Jesus. Everyone had to get, takes 2 or 3 days just to get used to not having any of those amenities.
Wow.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine. I mean, this is going to sound stupid, I guess, but I mean, I've gone camping before, you know, like in the forest with, you know, with my boys, you know, years ago, and you know, and that seems tough, you know, but what you're talking about is a whole nother level, a whole nother level.
Well, you can imagine being thankful after doing that for a week and realizing that we always had in the back of our mind that at the end of the week, we would fly home and to our air-conditioned home with our soft bed, with running water, at everything at our fingertips. And then you look into these people's hearts and see that there is none of that. There's the reality of that's their lives until they meet their Savior.
Well, I'm just kind of blown away with what you just said about the need over there. When you guys go over there, I mean, I'm assuming you're sharing the gospel, but you're doing other things too. What are some of the things that you're doing over there?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, because it was an evolution of, you know, just, hey, we know we want to help. And you make a lot of mistakes. There's books written about when helping hurts, because you try to do things that you think are helping. But it was a learning process. Since I had no experience, Daniel had no experience, and the other individuals that were helping had little experience, we actually learned on our following mission trips what the needs were by just living with them.
Yeah,
and that was really cool. Like the first couple of trips, there was no like agendas or plans. It was just like, hey, we don't know what we're doing here. Mm. So we need to live with them in order to see what is needed. Mm. And water is a big problem. Clean water.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere. So food, water, and shelter are the, you know, just the basic necessities were things that they didn't have. But for a long term, after failing and multiple times at different projects and succeeding, but a lot of failures too, the long term wealth is spiritual wealth, giving them a hope in the next life. It's not going to be this. We shared the gospel, but we also tried to provide them hope in Jesus. And we learned, I think that we benefited far more in our living with them than they benefited from us. We may have given them stuff to make them feel a little bit more comfortable, but what they gave us was much greater. The fire that they lit in our hearts about a people being able to have joy with little or next to nothing was, I remember that so clearly. And that was one of the reasons why Daniel and I wanted to keep helping. It was because of what we felt, you know, not only their need, but what we were in tune now with a completely different hope and love, not having stuff to rely on, but just God.
Wow.
So we learned, we failed and learned. We tried to do water filtration. That turned out to be very small in its success. And then we found out that education was the biggest hope. Education and the gospel. Right. By empowering them through education, that was a long-term hope for them.
Wow. I'm guessing you had an interpreter or two?
Yes.
Okay, so
we would have one or two each mission trip.
Okay, and their language is what?
It's Haitian Creole.
Okay.
It's derived from French. So it's if they do understand French if someone is French speaking,
okay.
But it's an island or it's a country dialect mixed in. So it okay. does differ. And I did learn a small amount so I could have rudimentary communication. So if I got lost or if the group didn't know, we could communicate without a translator. And the more trips afterwards that we made, and the more that we learned the language, we were able to go off on our own quite a bit without translators having to be with us all the time.
Oh, really? Okay. And yeah. How about security over there and safety and that kind of thing?
Well, right now it's probably the least opportune time to go there. The country is, there was the assassination of the president recently. Very insecure right now. They're resorting to kidnapping because of the poverty. The government has always, they've gone from one corrupt government to the next, and they take advantage of the resources that come in through aid, and they don't distribute. Since the earthquake in 2010, the country has spiraled down, mm-hmm. Downward. Now, we have not decreased at all the amount of help that we give, but we have found it very difficult to travel there with the insecurity, especially in the city where you land, Port-au-Prince.
Really?
It's very dangerous, yes. Right now it is.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the UN intervening now and going in to stabilize the government. Right now, the country is being run by gangs.
Jeez, yeah,
it's an undulating. It's been that way for 20 years, back and forth. A government gets in, they start to do good, and then the corruption starts, and it spirals out of control. Mm-hmm. But I Daniel and I always talked about this. It doesn't make us want to help less because of the situation. It only makes us want to help more because the people are desperate.
Mm-hmm. What do you have? Do you have any plans for another trip? Or are you just kind of waiting until the government, you know, gets a little more squared away, or what do you think?
We are waiting. I think the UN, going in and stabilizing the government is inevitable. From what I've read, I think that's the last time after they had the Hurricane Matthew went through, there was a similar situation. Government crumbled, no infrastructure. The UN went in and they stayed for, I believe, 3 years and stabilized the government and made it much safer for us to travel.
Mm.
I remember my last trip. This is the last trip I took. The volatility of the situation became so grave. I had to take a single engine plane from the Port-au-Prince airport. There's another airport a few blocks away that no one really even knows about unless you have been there a few times. And I took a single engine plane and landed on a 50-yard like a football field strip in a remote part of the country called Jacmel, just to avoid the gangs and the rioting and protesting.
Really?
And that was the last, that was my last trip. I was like, I just don't know. I can't bring a group. I can't bring a group here under this. And I was there by myself.
You went on a mission trip by yourself to gang-infested section of Haiti. Did I hear that
well,
right?
We flew over it. We flew over it in the single-engine plane. And the reason that I went, it's interesting, but I consider them my family, not just people that I help. We stay with the same group, two groups of people every time we're there. So,
okay.
Yeah, they become your family. My niece and I were there on the longest trip that my niece and I did was a little under 3 weeks, I think 20 days, and we lived with the family. Yeah.
Jeez. Now, I remember Daniel shared some photos a while back of the trip that he and, you know, or my daughter Tessa went on. And it looked like, were you guys building a school or something like that?
That was one of our successful endeavors. I remember sitting down with Pastor John, and we're a very small foundation. We're a group of maybe 8 to 10 individuals when everyone's working. And we try through mostly word of mouth and Facebook and brochures, and God has kept it running. God has sent us all the things that we need to do the things that we're doing. And I remember the pastor sitting with me, and he's like, God has put it on my heart to build a school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow. I'm like, you know, that's awesome. How much do you think it would cost to build a school? And he said between $60,000 and $80,000.
$60,000 to $80,000? Is that what you said?
$60,000 to $80,000. And I looked at him and I was like, I'm a foundation of about 6 to 10 people right now. And we don't take in that kind of money in years. I said, you know, that's a very big thing that you're asking me to partner with you. And he looked at me and he said, imagine how it would be if you were Haitian. And he said, $60,000. So we started laughing, and I thought to myself, well, yeah, $60,000 to me seems like a lot, but they live on, I think they're $2 per day.
Oh my gosh.
If they're working.
Oh, that's like years. I mean, $60,000 would be years, a lifetime.
And millions of dollars to anybody living here.
Wow.
But the way that worked out, David, it was, again, all things work out for good for those who love God.
Right.
When we started to donate money and we started to raise money through various means, two other foundations, two or three, FHL Ministries, the Mario Foundation, I can't remember the third. We all pitched in. The school was built in less than a year.
Wow.
Through three or four nonprofits all resourcing together and helping John. He put the construction project together and he funded it. And within a year, maybe a year and a half, he educates and feeds, which is very important, between 400 and 600 children, I think, was the last number that I got from him.
Wow. Wow. What an awesome thing that is. And I'm assuming you're keeping in touch with him on a regular basis and he gives you, reports or whatever.
Yes. So, the education that I brought up earlier is how we are moving forward. So we don't have any real construction projects going on currently, but we, and our church, the church that I'm working for also has been helping with this. Mm-hmm. We call it our education initiative. We try to get people to sponsor children, and we pay for their entire year of schooling, their books, and whatever their needs are for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, so that's how we've been continuing to help the school. For just putting kids in his, we understand how diligent and how faithful he is as the principal of the school, Pastor John, how much he wants to get more kids educated. And that's how we've been helping with the school, is just to get kids educated, for their school.
That's awesome. Now you're the full-time youth director or youth pastor at Next Community Church, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so
for the kids. For the kids, it's funny. I'm an older guy. It's through kindergarten up through sixth grade, but it's one of the biggest and most joyful blessings the Lord has ever bestowed on me to look into little children's eyes who are open to hearing things and not prejudging or having anything in their hearts that would stop them from loving Jesus. It is amazing and a blessing.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really awesome. You know, we were talking about being joyful, talking about being thankful. I mean, you know, because like you brought up so well that and explained so clearly that the Haitian people, you know, live in want all the time, but yet somehow they're still really joyful and content because of, you know, Jesus in their lives and what little they do have. They're very grateful. So here we're talking to primarily an American, well, we're listened to, this podcast is listened to in some other countries too, but you know, a lot of the people that listen to us are Americans, you know, and obviously, you know that in general, America would be considered probably the richest country in the world. And here we are with everything we need, and even those of us that are struggling are nothing compared to you know, the situation you just mentioned in Haiti. But as an American or non-American person, you know, Christian, how do help us to understand how we can, you know, have a grateful and joyful heart, you know, even in the midst of abundance, if you want to call it that.
Oh, wow. This is,
that's huge.
Well, we mentioned earlier that I teach children, and it's a Bible. Obviously it's everything that we teach them is from the Bible. I'm holding a little book right now that my father, he passed away a number of years ago, but he was very, very influential in my life and why I followed Jesus so closely. He has this little book, and I have it with me. I carry it with me. It's in my briefcase everywhere I go, and I'm looking at it right now. And it's an old, tattered book, and he taped something to the front of it. And this is some of the advice I give, not only to the kids, but it's concerning joy and Thanksgiving, but it's a little piece of paper and it's scotch tape to the front. And he typed it, it looks like, and he wrote in the number first. It says, "What you seek first organizes every other aspect of your life." And it's referencing Matthew 6:33, which is, you know, but seek first the kingdom of God and exactly. His righteousness, and then all other things will be added unto you. And I look at that as more of not just God being first, because that is pretty obvious that God is always supposed to be first in our life. But with our lives, I also look at that as daily, like meaning literally what you do first. The first thing that you do will then in that day will organize the rest of your day. And it's funny because my dad gave me this advice in a different manner, but I look at it as a daily thing. And first of all, Haiti gives you enough reason just to be thankful. But I tell people, I think I heard this, and I don't know whether it was Denzel Washington or somebody famous. I remember hearing this and thinking it was really cool. He said, before you go to bed at night, put your slippers way underneath your bed, or something that you need, put it on the floor under your bed, so that the very first thing that you do when you get out of bed is get down on your knees.
I love that. I love that.
And so did I.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Wow.
And the opening up the lines of communication with God with Thanksgiving, I think, is awesome. So I literally, every single morning, I know there's some people out there, oh, well, you know, I don't have time. I'm too busy to do that. And, you know, it's time for God, and you can set your clock 5 or 10 minutes back before you have to get started. But I truly think that literally taking inventory mm-hmm. of the blessings that God has given us every single morning
yeah.
when we get up on our knees, and literally if your mind can think of 100 things
yeah.
from the most simplistic things like mm-hmm. a soft bed
yeah.
and a roof over you to the food and your children, I mean, literally yeah. take inventory of how God has blessed you.
Amen on that. Amen. Yeah. And since you went to Haiti, you really have a strong appreciation for things like a soft bed and running water and roof over your head and things like that. Yeah. And I'm a big amen proponent of what you just said. And I try to push that on my podcast shows. I try to remind people all the time to start the day off, just like you said in Matthew 6:33, I think it is. But starting your day off with the Lord, and just, it's like, you know, I get up in the morning, the very first thing out of my, I always say, "Good morning, Lord." That's like the very first thing out of my mouth. And then I thank Him for another day of life because He woke me up again. And then I do what you, just got done saying. I start the day off with thanksgiving and, you know, even, I don't want to say dumb stuff, but even stuff that might be obvious, like this morning, I remember thanking Him just for the house that I'm living in. And yesterday, it was kind of funny, I guess, but I was sitting there and we have a Christmas tree in our living room right now. It's all lit up and it's really pretty. And Kathy, my wife, did a great job on it and all that. But I even remember thanking the Lord for the Christmas tree, as dumb as that might seem. I mean, because we're so blessed, you know, and just to be able to have that. And a lot of people don't have that. And so I was just thanking the Lord for, and good health and protecting us, you know, and things like that, and bringing the kids home safe from their honeymoon, and just on and on and on, on and on and on. Just, you know, thanking the Lord in the morning and starting the day off. And then when you do that, you know, some of this other stuff will seem a little pale in comparison.
There is no way, if you take a physical inventory of the things that God has blessed you with, mm-hmm. when you start your morning out,
right.
there's no way that you can approach the rest of your day, like in the manner that some people do, where it's just, well I got to do this and now I got to do that, and what can I do for me? It's impossible. It literally. I love the things that you're thanking. And I always tell the kids that there's nothing that's too great or small to thank God for, because, mm-hmm. you know, the smallest things, I don't think in my heart, teaching kids, if I can think like a child right now, I don't think that God will ever say, "Oh, that's enough. Okay, you've thanked me enough. You don't have to list anything." As a matter of fact, he's probably up there, "Well, you know, what about that? You forgot that, and you forgot when you lost your reading glasses, and you asked me to help you find your reading glasses, and I gave them to you." I really think Thanksgiving is something that we could just go on and on and on. It glorifies God, but I wanted to add something to the end,
mm-hmm.
and the very last thing that I try to do is I actually do thank God for the day too, like mm-hmm. you do, David. And I always say this because it's a reminder. It's the reminder of the most thankful. It's the most important thing to be thankful for. Oh, Father, thank you that you chose me. Thank you that my name was written in your book. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me so that I have the opportunity, or I know that my name is in your book, and I'm going to come see you at the very end. Because I think the magnitude of that really sets you off in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. Salvation. I mean, if you think about it, nothing else is more important than that. Because if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're not saved, what's the point? There is no point. I mean, that's the most important thing. The fact that the Father sent His Son Jesus to come and die for our sins and to pay the price so that we don't have to, and so that now we have a relationship with Him and that we can share that with others. That's the most important thing. Everything else is after that. Everything else. Yeah. So that's number one. So very well said. Yeah. Gosh, what an awesome. Hey, if people want to contribute or donate to the foundation, it's trinityhelpfoundation.com. Is that's correct, Michael?
Correct.
Yeah, Trinity, T-R-I-N-I-T-Y, just like it sounds, help, H-E-L-P, foundation. So trinityhelpfoundation.com, and they can go to that, they can donate, they can find out more about you. But also you have a Facebook page with the same name, Trinity Help Foundation. Right, so they can go there and check you out and donate. And not only donate, but pray for you and your foundation too, because that's important too.
Yeah, we are. You have no idea how much I miss. I was averaging 2 trips per year, mm-hmm. and I have not been there now since the instability of the last government for over a year and a half, and I am missing my family.
Yeah.
You can still help, but they've become part of my life.
Yeah.
And John, Pastor John, who I stay with, was inspirational in my beginning footsteps with Jesus. He really helped me in my walk. So
yeah. That's awesome. Well, before we close it out today, I'm going to ask you, when we get done with the episode, don't hang up, okay, Michael? Because I want to talk to you off the air, okay? But
sure.
But before we do that, can you close us out in prayer? Do you mind?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. What a joy to be able to speak your name for many people to hear. We're celebrating the birth in this season. We're celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus, the most important thing in everyone's life. And we sing the song, a joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. He is our king. He was born to die for us. Imagine the Lord and how much he loved us, our Heavenly Father. He sent his son for one purpose, and that was to die for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Help us to remain in constant thanksgiving for your son, Jesus. Help us to be joyful that we're going to come see you someday, and that if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Lord, that there's nothing that can stop us from meeting him and meeting you. I pray all these things. I thank you, Father, for David being in my life and all the things that he has done for us. I thank you for his family, and I thank you for the time here today to talk about you, because it is awesome time. I pray this in your son Jesus' name.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Amen. So don't go away, Michael. I'm going to talk to you.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for joining us today on It's All About Relationship, episode number 101. And if this message has blessed you, and I totally believe that it has, without a doubt, please share the link with somebody else. Share it on your social media or text it to somebody. Anyway, hope you had a great time. We'll catch you on the next time.